Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am pleased to be bringing you the Word of God this morning. Turn to the book of Obadiah. It is nestled in between Amos and Jonah. Let's pray for the proclamation of God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated as King in the heavenlies at the right hand of God the Father. And right now, he is judging the earth. Right now, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he judges the nations. And we reign with him, for we are united to Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would cause us today to see the glories of your Son, Jesus, in the Old Testament, to see the glories of your person and your wrath and your goodness and kindness toward men in calling all men everywhere to account for their sins and to repent so that they might be delivered from the wrath to come. Thank you for calling us out of this. And bless the proclamation of your word today. Bless our hearts that we might hear the truth and repent and believe ourselves. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These are the words of the Holy Spirit given through the mouth of the prophet Obadiah. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if plunderers by night, how you have been destroyed! Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter because of the violence done to your brother Jacob. Shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. they shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Those of the Negeb shall possess Mount Esau, and those of Shephelah shall possess the land of the Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The exiles of this host of the people of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the Negeb. Saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Perhaps you have heard in the news about different persecutions of Christians in different places. I hope that you have. I hope that it affects your heart. I hope that you are praying for them. We have people who are persecuted in Africa by Boko Haram. People are being murdered. Their daughters taken away. We have churches in Iraq who have been decimated and who once were thriving under Saddam Hussein. Now, radical Islam has destroyed many of them and scattered them far away. We have churches in China who are under renewed persecution for their faith. And we wonder and we think, where is the Lord? Maybe you have experienced this personally in your life, where wicked men have done wicked things to you and have not been brought to account. And you cry out, oh Lord, how long will you allow this to take place in our world? How long will you allow the wicked to stand and destroy your people? Know this. Christ is your protector and judge and your king. He is king over his church now, and he protects his church now, and he will protect you. Yes, it is true, he has promised in his word that you will be persecuted in this life, but ultimately, our hope is not here on this earth right now. Our hope is in the place that he has provided in heaven, and what he has promised for us is growth in Christ and grace now, endurance and strength under persecution and harm, and he has promised to wipe away every tear for us in heaven. Here in the Old Testament, in this book, Obadiah, the shortest book in the Bible, we have Obadiah proclaiming doom on the kingdom of Edom. Edom is descended from Esau, who was Jacob's brother. Jacob, the father of Israel. Another word for Israel is the word Jacob. His brother was Esau. Esau sold his birthright because he preferred porridge to the blessings of God and of his people. He would rather have some porridge than the blessings of God, and he sold it away. And what is happening now in this text, what has just happened, is that God has sent Babylon to come take away Judah into captivity because they were worshiping idols. They were sacrificing their children to idols. They're worshiping God in ways God had said not to. Over and over again, God sends his prophet to his people and they either kill them or persecute them or refuse to listen to them and drive them away. God has had enough. God has sent Babylon to bring them into captivity. But what God has not decided, what God has not wanted for his people, was for Edom to add to their suffering. God wanted them to be disciplined so far and none further. And so here's what the Edomites did that was over the top. Instead of trying to help their brothers like they should have, you are your brother's keeper. Instead of helping their brothers, they added to their suffering. They helped Babylon destroy Jerusalem and Judah and take them away captive. They sold some of them into slavery. And so because of these evil deeds that they did to their own brother in the midst of Judah's hardship and suffering, God is going to send his prophet to warn Edom. And that's what the book of Obadiah does. It's a warning for these Edomites, the brothers by flesh to Jerusalem, to Judah, and yet they are persecuting them. So let's look more particularly at the book of Obadiah here. Look in verses 1 through 2. It says here, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. God has sent a messenger among the nations. He wants it to be heard all around. It's time to take out Edom. For whatever reason they had in their mind, God had a reason to establish justice, to put a stop to the persecution of his people. It says there in verse 2, behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. Another thing to note here is that God is addressing all the nations. He's not just addressing his people. Yes, God's people were very small back then. Today it has grown into a volume that we could not have dreamed, that the Jews could not have dreamed of before. But back then it was relatively small. Relatively few came to the faith, and certainly not many Gentiles. But we do have precedent in other parts of Scripture. In the book of Jonah, God sends Jonah to the wicked, evil Assyrians to tell them to repent. And so happens that they do. And so we have here in the book of Obadiah another attempt to save people from the slaughter. We read these words and we're kind of amazed. Doesn't sound like much gospel to me. But we'll see more as we go along. Rise up. Let us rise against her for battle. God is a great and mighty king, and he hates sin. Some people have a problem with God's wrath. They act like they want to get rid of it. Out of one side of their mouth, why does he have to be so mean in the Bible? Why does God want to punish sin? Well, imagine you had a God who didn't have wrath against sin, who just didn't care. If God didn't care about sin, Jesus would never have been sought to deal with it. And people could come into heaven and treat each other like garbage for eternity. Is that heaven to you? A place where God doesn't care about sin and where people treat each other bad for eternity? We get treated badly enough here on this earth. But in the future, God is going to deal with it in his own way, through punishing our sins on Jesus Christ or through punishing people's sins in hell for eternity. The two ways that he deals with it. No, God must be a God of wrath. God has to care about sin. It must be very important to him. Look at verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You live in the clefts of the rock in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to the ground?" Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Pride is a root of all kinds of evil. It thinks more highly of yourself than you should. And by that, it blinds you. You become a megalomaniac. You have delusions of grandeur. You think you're somebody. You think you can take on that task. And you have no clue what awaits for you. And you fall on your face in front of everyone. And you have to make all sorts of apologies. Or you blame it on somebody else and you never see your own faults. And you destroy yourself that way. Pride, it blinds us. It deceives us. It makes us think things like this. I can get to heaven and please God with my own works. The bad things that I do aren't really that bad. And most of the time, they're other people's fault and not mine. And so I never apologize for anything or never ask forgiveness for anything. And that alienates you from God. Pride kills you. Get a true sense of yourself and of who you are. Don't fake it. See yourself as you truly are. Listen to the people around you and admit your own faults. Look how much of a view they had of themselves in verse 4. Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars. Historically, the Edomites lived in mountains. They're way up high. It would have been very difficult for any army to root out. But see how the inflated view they have of themselves? They think they have their nest among the stars. They think they are that good and awesome. God says, even from there, I'll bring you down. Don't be deceived. God can bring you down from wherever you think you are. However good a person you think you are, God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. His goodness knows no bound. Do you think you can give your works to Him and impress Him? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God Himself in flesh, did the works that truly please God. And it is only through His works that you can impress the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. Look in verse 5. If thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, how you have been destroyed! Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. So Obadiah, the Holy Spirit, through the prophet Obadiah, is marveling at how bad it's going to be for them. That words cannot express how bad it's going to be for these Edomites for persecuting God's people. He can't even finish his sentence with saying how bad it is. Look at verse 5. If plunderers came by night, it should end. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? But he interrupts himself. He can't wait to say what it's actually meaning. How you have been destroyed. They are utterly destroyed. And you will see this language continue throughout. It's not just a little bit of destruction. And we can't help but think of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the New Testament talking about hell and how terrible and awful a place that is. And Obadiah is trying to lay it on thick to these poor Edomites, not just to gloat over them and saying, God's going to beat you down, but he's saying, look, if you don't do something, this is what's going to happen to you. Believe it. And their pride figures in again. They're so prideful, they sit down at the table with the big dogs in the room, Babylon, and they think nothing's going to happen to them. They think Babylonians are on their side. Well, we find out that after the Edomites are done helping out the Babylonians in turn come for them and take them out. They think they've got a great deal, a great cushy deal set up, and they are so prideful they can't even see that their doom is standing right in front of them. Look at verse 8 and 9. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. Their rulers will be gone. The wise people that they put their trust in, gone. What kind of people are you putting your trust in? Do you trust our nation to save you? Those in control and power in our nation? Do you trust the scientists to save you? Do you trust in any human being? Do you trust in me or Pastor Jason to save you? We're not going to save you. We know one who can, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has all wisdom, all power, all authority, and He has given His own life for you to prove His love to you. And He invites all people everywhere to come and to trust in Him. Don't trust in the wise men. Don't trust in the strong men of this world. They've got nothing when it comes to God. Look at verses 10 and following. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. See that language again. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, and you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother and the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah and the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. And here we have the catalog of sins that has made God so angry. The people, the apple of his eye that he has chosen to discipline, but only so far and no further, Edom has added this. And God says, no, you will not. And because you are doing this, destruction is coming upon you. And notice here the commands he's giving them. Do not do these things. So presently they are doing them. And now they have a chance because God has warned them. He has come to them. He didn't have to. He didn't have to say anything to these people. He didn't have to send Obadiah to send out this message. He could have just kept his mouth shut and said, bam, you're destroyed. That's it. But God is gracious. And he gives us warning signs along the way. And he says, stop. This is foolish. This is stupid. This is evil. This is wicked. Stop what you're doing. Repent and turn away from what you're doing. And that's what he's asking these people to do. And if you look at the book of Jonah, it comes about the same sort of way. God tells Jonah to say something very harsh to the Ninevites. God's going to take you down, essentially. Doesn't sound like gospel to me. But do you know how Jonah interprets it? He says, no, I don't want to even tell them. Because I know God is merciful and he might just save them. And I hate the Assyrians so much, I don't want to tell them this message. Because I know God, and if those Ninevites, if they're given a chance to repent, God might let them. And I don't want that. And God has to teach Jonah a lesson in forgiveness too. So God is showing grace here in these verses, in these catalog of sins. He's putting up his yield signs. He's putting up his danger, falling rock sign. this is dangerous. Turn away. Don't go this way. It will lead to your death. Here's why. Look at verses 15 and following. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations, not just the Edomites, but upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. God is a just God. Yes, He is willing to forgive. But if you do not seek His forgiveness, you will get paid back in full for everything you have done. He's not unfair. He is not slow in His bringing about of justice. He brings it about in just the right time. We may think He's slow. We may go up to God and give Him a lecture and shake our finger at Him and say, why did you do this, God? Why don't you do this now? I want you to do this now. Why did you do this then? We always have something we want to complain about. God knows what He's doing. He doesn't need your advice. He's infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His wisdom. He knows what He's doing. Your deeds shall return on your own head, for as you have drunk on my holy mountain, you partied it up. So all nations shall drink continually, but they'll drink something else. They shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as they had never been. They will receive the cup of God's wrath. Do you remember another cup that was drunk in the New Testament? The cup of God's wrath that Jesus Christ Himself drank for us. He drank the cup so we do not have to drink. He drank the cup so we could have an eternal inheritance and have forgiveness of our sins and not drink of the cup of God's wrath for eternity. They shall drink and swallow and be as they have never been. Look in verse 17. And we see a turnabout of fortune here. This is very important in verse 17. But, a very important word. In Mount Zion, that's the place where God is worshipped, there shall be those who escape. And it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. We read this and we know that we have an escape from the wrath of God and Jesus Christ. But it's not only for our sakes that He says this. It is for the Edomites' sake. Do you remember that when the Jews went down into Egypt, they came out a mixed multitude, it says. There weren't just Jews with them. There were Egyptians who repented and believed and followed God's people. You know what kind of person Uriah was, whom David killed, who was a righteous man, one of his generals, a good man? He was a Hittite. And when David went off away to hide from Saul, people from all over the place came to David and joined themselves to him. They were not all Jews, but they joined themselves to God's people. They repented and they believed. Here is your ark of safety. Here is where Christ can protect even your enemies, even you, even those who have sinned against you. Christ can protect these Edomites if they repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to Jehovah, and join Himself to the church, God's protected people. Just as Noah preached and said, God's going to send a flood. Come get in with us. And nobody did. But now we have people from every tribe and tongue and nation coming in. It is not just the Ninevites that come in. That's one small occurrence in the Old Testament. It's not just one king, Nebuchadnezzar, repenting and believing. There have been many kings throughout history who have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and thus delivered Christ's people from oppression and destruction. God can take the rulers of China and convert them. God can take those believers in radical Islam and change their hearts. God can do this, and He is able to. His arm is not grown short. He does not lack the power. He is able to save you to the uttermost and protect you. Note here also, and it shall be holy. God isn't just interested in delivering you from hell, getting you a get out of hell free card. He wants to make you a better person. He wants to improve you and cause you to grow in grace. He wants you to be holy. And that's what He's doing. He's making you holy right now. And then the way that He makes you holy is a difficult process, and it hurts. Just like it hurt God's people when Babylon came and took Jerusalem into exile, that hurt them, but it taught them not to worship God like the idols of the world, or to be holy. And Jacob shall possess their own possessions. All the stuff that they lost. They lost everything and were taken off to Babylon. God's going to restore it all and bring it back to them. Look at verse 18. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. It's as if all of God's enemies are made out of straw, and all of God's people are made out of fire, and they don't mix together. God will protect His people. Look in verses 19 through 21. Those of the Negeb shall possess Mount Esau, and those of Shephelah shall possess the land of the Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The exiles of this host of the people of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and the exiles of Jerusalem who are on Shepharad shall possess the cities of the Negeb. Saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Everything that they've lost will be regained. The land of Israel, from tip of the top to the bottom, will be theirs, and even more than that, they're going to rule over Esau, the Edomites. What are we to make of this in a New Testament sense? We know in the Old Testament that the land of God's people not only symbolizes heaven, that's there too, but it symbolizes the world. Remember how Joshua is commanded to come in and take the land? Be strong and courageous. The Lord has given them the land. Now Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has given His great commission to His church to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel into every creature. Repent and believe the good news about Jesus Christ. And God, through His church, who act like saviors here, following their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall give their own bodies as living sacrifices to do whatever the Lord has asked them to do. Will you be a savior too? Are you willing to give of your body a living sacrifice to your God? To undergo persecution in this life? To undergo hardship like our Lord Jesus Christ in His life? Who dwelt with a people of unclean lips, and yet His lips were clean, His hands were clean, He was persecuted of men, and He spoke for their good and for their salvation, and He was treated with contempt. Are you willing to be treated with contempt for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be courageous and to go forth and speak the gospel to that neighbor, to that people you work with, to be okay with being persecuted for praying in your cubicle, and even though you're afraid of being seen, you do it anyway, or praying at lunch and afraid that you'll be passed over for some promotion? These things happen. Are you willing? Are you able to endure persecution for the Lord Jesus Christ and be strong and courageous? Just as God gave the land to the people, the Jews, gave it back to them, just as he promised, we have the world set before us, and God says, go and preach the gospel unto every creature. He wants people to be saved. There's a negative side to the gospel. Things are going bad. They're really bad. You really need to repent. Look out. And we have the glories of heaven to set before people as well. That all the troubles that they're having in this life can be gone when you depart to be with the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God who is love and goodness forever. We have a true salvation to set before people, a true hope. And our hope is not in this world, although the Lord gives us good things in this life. Our hope is not here. This is not our ultimate home. Are you willing to suffer for the good of the kingdom here and now and receive your eternal reward hereafter? May the Lord cause us to love the good things of the Lord enough to die for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this privilege it is to be saviors in this world, to tell people the good news, to be examples of how God has saved us. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to seek out opportunities to share the good news with those who have so far not been willing to hear. Open their hearts. Open our hearts of love towards them. Encourage us this day to remember the great love you have loved us to deliver us from eternal destruction. You have been so good to us. You have given us so many warning signs. And we confess sometimes we haven't looked at them, and we confess that we've been prideful. Be with us. Help us to put to death the deeds of the flesh and love others enough to tell them about Jesus. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Hear the Lord's benediction. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.